Hey Amarillo, I'm Jason Boyette, and you're listening to Hey Amarillo, the interview podcast featuring some of the most interesting people and stories of Amarillo, Texas. Today's episode is supported by Pinnacle by Rock Rose, a new master-planned neighborhood being developed at Hollywood and Bell, south of Randall High School. The 2024 Parade of Homes is just a few weeks away, and three Pinnacle homes will be on display at this event. It's April 25th to 28th and May 2nd to the 5th. All of these homes are on Stonecrest Drive, so you can literally walk from one house to the next. Look for the four-bedroom home by Cornerstone Fine Homes at 9502 Stonecrest, a four-bedroom home by Johnston Homes at 9504 Stonecrest, and another four-bedroom home, this one by Connolly Construction at 9506 Stonecrest. These are at the Parade of Homes. You can buy tickets for it for $10 for ages 12 and up. Tickets are available at Pack-A-Sack, United Supermarkets, and the Parade Smart app, which you can get for your iPhone or Android. To learn more, visit pinnaclebyrockrose.com or amarilloparadeofhomes.com. And as part of this podcast partnership with Brick & Elm Magazine, I want to give a podcast shout-out to Realtor Cindy Bulla of Realty Central Services and to Texas Tech Physicians Surgery. Read the free e-edition of Brick & Elm's current March-April 2024 issue at brickandelm.com. Today's guest is Tate Atkinson, who is half of the husband-wife duo that created Free Cheese Prints, a local custom screen printing company here in Amarillo. And there are a lot of places that do screen printing locally, but Risa and Tate at Free Cheese have really carved out a niche by creating and selling t-shirts, mugs, and a whole lot more that promote Amarillo in this area. I literally see people wearing their shirts all over town. They sell them at From Six Collective and at community markets and pop-ups and other special events. Free Cheese printed shirts for my magazine, Brick & Elm, and for this podcast. And I wanted to talk to Tate about how they got started. What's the origin story of this business? And it's a really unique story. And why they have become such strong advocates for Amarillo and Amarillo souvenirs. We also discuss a lot of other stuff, including travel, Tate's journey towards sobriety, and creativity in this area. So here's Tate Atkinson. Tate Atkinson, welcome to the Hey Amarillo podcast. Thanks for being here.
Excited to be here.
Good. I'm excited to have you. I know that we've discussed you being on the show a little bit in the past, and I know you listen to the show, so I appreciate that. But I want to start with you the same way I start with all my guests and just ask, what brought you to Amarillo in the first place? So how did you end up here?
Yeah, just born and raised in Amarillo. My dad sold a car in Missouri when he was a teen and kind of got shipped to Amarillo to live with his dad. Met my mom in high school, or just after high school, and they had three kids, me, my brother and sister, Kirby and Till. So
okay, so a stolen car was what got your family here?
Got my dad moving down here.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Where did you go to school in Amarillo?
Amarillo High School, 2008. And then during childhood, traveled a lot, just doing travel hockey. My sister did a lot of like travel tennis and family camping trips to Colorado and the mountains. And I think that's probably where got our love for travel and just being out and about.
Did you, when you were going to Amarillo High and getting ready to graduate, did you have some sort of a career plan in mind?
Nothing really figured out after high school. It was just a couple different jobs here and there, went traveling. Always liked the art growing up in high school and middle school. Did a lot of painting and drawing.
Okay.
Lot of photos, a lot of video stuff.
Was college an option for you? Did you consider that or did?
I think it's something I could have pushed for, but it wasn't something that I was that passionate about or really drove towards. I always wanted to do something in the creative field and didn't really know what that was, but that and traveling was just what I was really interested in. And when I was like out of high school, I had a friend that went to California and I went there too for a few weeks and we just kind of hopped around Oakland and San Francisco and slept on the streets.
Really?
Pretty much. Yeah. Like in Jack London Square in Oakland or in Santa Cruz, we would sleep in the trees just outside of the city and just wake up and go to the beach and just do whatever. And then I just rode the Amtrak back to Albuquerque, and my mom picked me up from there. And
just, I mean, was that something that you kind of accidentally went into, or did you have like a goal? I want to go see California. I want to go ride the train.
Yeah, just wanted to go out and travel and just see have all that sort of stuff. Yeah, have an adventure. You know, went on a family trip around probably those same times to Chicago. And the night before we were supposed to fly back, with I was there with my brother and sister and mom. I had some friends in Philadelphia and just changed the flight and then went to Philly and spent a couple weeks there and took the bus to New York. And I always just wanted to go see all these other places. Had a lot of friends lived in Denver and moved to Denver, so would take trips there, either the Greyhound or driving or plane. And always had the idea that I wanted to live in a bigger city like that. Mm-hmm. But it always kind of came back down to Amarillo being somewhere that the cost of living was so low that you could afford to actually travel.
Okay.
A lot of friends in the bigger cities like Denver and Austin, it felt like they went there and then the rent was like $2,000 a month or whatever it was. So then you didn't really have like the funds to go out and do other things.
That perspective of just wanting to go someplace to see some places, it's not something that everybody shares. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some people that travel is kind of fearful, or you're out of your comfort zone and you'd rather just, you know, kind of stay home. But that's always been something that was pretty important to you.
Yeah, definitely.
Does that come from like your parents or anything like that? Or was it?
I don't know if it's just from growing up and like going on all those like hockey trips every weekend. And mm-hmm. if it wasn't hockey, it was a tennis trip. And if it wasn't that, it'd be like going to the canyon and hiking, or going, you know, for a week in Colorado tent camping, or going over to New Mexico. And I think just growing up doing all that maybe just got the travel bug.
And okay.
I just like going and seeing what's out there.
Did there come a point where you thought, okay, I can't just like bum around for a couple weeks in California. I need to get a real job, or I need to find a way to pay for this travel that you wanted to do. I mean, what did that look like?
Yeah, definitely. Days? And then and that's why I've always tried to be like so frugal and just saving money best I can and going on some of those like vagrant holidays, you know, in a sense where you didn't have to pay for overnight stays if you're just sleeping kind of wherever.
But
I mean, that came to a big point for me and Risa and us traveling. Like, she moved in, I had a blue short bus and we always wanted to like trick that out and turn that into like a little camping mobile and travel with that. But I think the miles per gallon would cost a little too much.
Yeah.
And we didn't know how that was going to make sense, but sold that and got an Element, and we tricked it out and put a platform in there with like a mattress and a cooler and everything. And we were able to just travel and do it on the cheap. So
yeah. Tell me what your career looked like pre-free cheese. What did you find yourself doing?
Man, just right after high school, it was like I think Little Caesars for a couple weeks,
okay.
Lowe's maybe for a few weeks, Best Buy, I think, for longer. Worked out at Toad Hall. And then it was heavy machine operator at L.A. Fuller & Sons, okay. Running loaders and water trucks and all that.
And that's a job not everybody can do.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want me behind one of those.
For sure. And then it got to a point when I was doing that we started doing a lot more of the shirt stuff. Mm-hmm. And
all through that period, while you're doing a lot of different jobs, did you still kind of have that creative drive? I mean, you're driving a front end loader, but were you still thinking you wanted to do something in the creative world?
Oh, definitely. And whenever I was doing all that, running the loader and doing all that, we were still doing some shirt stuff on the side.
Okay.
And it probably wasn't as big. I mean, I could probably start whenever we first got into screen printing, or when I first got into screen printing. My buddy Jojo was working at like a screen printing shop, and there'd be a busted screen or just a little bit of emulsion left, and he would throw it in the dumpster, and we would go back at midnight and fish it out of the dumpster. And we'd go to Michael's and get some ink and stuff from there. We'd get some shirts from the thrift store that were just blank and cheap, and had a halogen light down in his basement. And, you know, one of us was holding the screen and the other person was setting or pulling the squeegee. And we were just making shirts like that. And we were just making our artwork, getting transparencies printed at like FedEx, Kinko's, and just selling them to friends, selling them at the 806. They let us have a little rack where we were selling them at.
Okay.
And then it really all kind of took a turn and became more real after Jake Isom stole the Koran from David Grisham.
Okay.
Out at Sam Houston, because his video just went super viral and Jake was a friend. And they made that song, like, "Dude, you have no Koran."
I remember that. When that happened, yeah.
Yeah, so we made a shirt that had Jake's face on it, and it said, "Dude, you have no Koran."
Okay.
And we put it up on eBay, and there was some lady out of Texas Magazine, like, interviewed me and JoJo about that, and word got out, and we just kept pushing that shirt on eBay, and we sold enough shirts to be able to give Jake some money and for us to buy, like, a four-station, one-color screen printing press.
Okay.
So then...
That's where your initial capital came
that's
from.
That's where the capital came
that's
from,
funny.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And we still have that press to this day. It's the one that me and Risa use for live screen printing. And we'll just set it up on our cart, and it's just a one station for color. But that's whenever the quality, like, upped itself. Yeah. It was just from that kind of random event.
Okay, that's really interesting. Tell me about sort of the process of making free cheese official, you know, deciding, okay, I'm going to turn this into a business. Mm-hmm. I know you were working on it before Risa really was working with the business. It didn't come out of nowhere, but, like, there was a point where you thought, okay, this is going to be a thing. How did that happen?
Yeah. So I was always making the shirts, and we were doing random shirts this week and then not next week. Mm-hmm. And we would do some shirts for our friends that had tattoo shops, or like Western Plaza with their band. We started right. making a lot of that. And then Free Cheese definitely got its start whenever me and Risa started living together and got together. We met each other probably when we were 19 or 20.
Okay.
And then started dating and, like, living together at 23.
Okay.
But I mean, like, before that, we would both loved Modest Mouse and go to some concerts in Albuquerque to see our favorite band, or go to music festivals. And when we started living together, we just realized we both really had that creative drive. And growing up, she came here from Long Beach, but fell in love with Amarillo. Her dad was at Bell Helicopter, so
all right.
got brought here when she was young, and I don't think she ever thought she would stay, but she just loved Amarillo in Texas, and she would always draw and paint growing up as well, and did her own little sticker business, and we just both had these ideas of, like, wanting to do more and kind of work for ourselves and have our own hours, but didn't know really what that looked like. And she had the idea of, like, hey, we should really just push this idea to go and make a business out of this screen printing. And she was always good at making the designs, mm-hmm. and I could be on the back end printing all the shirts and really just, like, feeding off of each other. Like, a lot of people say they can't work with their wife, but I can't imagine, like, not working with her.
Yeah.
Just because whatever she's missing, I might be able to help with, and, like, vice versa. It's just able to bounce off that person to really, like, propel it was a big deal.
I remember the point where I think she announced on social media that she was leaving her full-time job so that she could work full-time for mm-hmm. Free Cheese. And that was... it was not that long ago. You guys had been doing stuff for several years, but it took a while to reach that point where it could become her job in addition to your job, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think it was right before, like, COVID and the pandemic hit. I quit my construction job, got my real estate license. With that extra time, I was able to start working more on Free Cheese and the printing and that sort of stuff. But once everything kind of went into lockdown and she was at AIG, she got to work from home. And once she worked from home, there became a lot more time to work on Free Cheese.
Right.
And focus on that. And then it eventually got to a point where it just didn't make sense for her to work at AIG because of how much business we really had and how much time everything was taking. Because, you know, after work, she'd get off, and then it's like we're printing shirts till midnight.
Yeah, you're working at night after working all day.
Definitely.
Tell me about how you thought about your business, because from what I remember, there are a lot of screen printing shops in Amarillo, mm-hmm. you know, to do t-shirts for nonprofits and events and stuff like that. And I know you guys do that, but you also produce shirts to sell retail in community market setting or at places like From Six Collective. And a lot of them are Amarillo focused or Texas focused. And so you took a little bit different turn from just like a third party screen printer. And so I wonder what the thinking was behind that, because that elevated you just in awareness above some other places that, you know, we might not have heard of that do the same kind of work.
Oh, definitely. Pretty early on in our relationship, we knew travel was important and we did a lot of that. Our goal was to visit all 50 states by the time we were 30.
Okay.
And we finished that whenever we were 29. But I mean, it took a long time, a lot of trips to like make that work. And, you know, all the time on the road, you're traveling, you're going to gift shops and you're seeing this and that and all these cool t-shirts and stickers and magnets and whatever it may be. And whenever we first started making like our own little art shirts and stuff for other friends, we came back from those trips just thinking, man, Amarillo doesn't really have that like Amarillo gift shop type shirts and stickers and postcards. And it felt like that was a good thing for us to maybe focus on. So it really started with us getting into the Amarillo community market and having like a couple of Amarillo shirts. And it was something that we had every Saturday to go to. So we could try a new design this week, or maybe the next week we'd have two new designs. And then you're with people that are just walking up to you. So you're getting instant feedback. You're knowing what's working, what people are liking. And more times than not, people would also be like, oh, do you print custom shirts? And it was never really about that at first for us. It was just like, these are our shirts, but it's like, well, we know how to do it. So sure, we'll make sure it's for your business, your band, your tattoo. Like, it was always for friends before, but the market brought a whole nother crowd that we were really able to like help with. So
I wonder, like, as you look at your business now and how it's grown, like what percentage of the work that you do is work for just individual retail, and what percentage are you, you know, custom printing for somebody?
Yeah, I wish I knew the exact percentage, but
yeah, I don't need like dollar figures or anything.
I definitely think it's more custom stuff.
Is
now.
It really?
Yeah, than our own stuff. We're at From Sixth. We're at the Nat. We try to do as many pop ups as we can.
Right.
The community market was, I mean, really where I think we got our start. And
with the community market not operating this season, have you found a way to replace that sort of visibility?
We haven't yet. Next week, applications open for the Canyons Farmer Market.
Okay.
So we're definitely going to be doing that. We're still going to be doing like Pete's and Gals in the Garden and all those other ones that we do have. But the Amarillo Community Market kind of disappearing is definitely a big hit.
I mean, you were like OGs.
Were
you there the very first season?
I don't know if we were there the first year, but we were definitely there the second year. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we always loved it. We scheduled trips to like not miss, you know, those
Saturdays.
So you're
back every weekend.
And stuff. Yeah. Like sometimes we would leave Saturday after the market and then come home late Friday, like just so we could be there. Cause I mean, you could see it coming. Just the first few years was always packed, just like booth, 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 booth. And then slowly it was just like a lot thinner.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the Canyon market, farmers market, was really growing. Like pretty.
Yeah. I think a lot of people went that direction.
Tell me about your t-shirt designs. Are there two or three that are your most popular that people either have bought the most, or that you see people wearing around in public the most?
Yeah, it just kind of goes on cycles, because we'll have some that we've had this whole time, like the last 5-6 years, and then we have some that maybe only last for a few weeks, and then we try something else. But people love the simplicity of like our Bomb City tee. Mm-hmm. It just says Bomb City across it. There's a Texas Forever that we just have to keep repainting with a cowboy hat with a skull. There's a CMYK design that we have of like Cadillac Ranch. People really like that, nice and colorful. And some of those are ones that we just are always going to have.
Okay. Where did the name Free Cheese come from?
Just a funny name. Just it sticks in people's mind, but based off that government cheese program.
Okay.
Free That's cheese. Like when we first started out, it was just like low minimums, which it's still 12 for like a one color for our minimum. So low minimums, but always trying to help like artists and bands and small businesses. So try to work with people's budgets. If we need to like adjust a shirt style or like the colors of a design instead of a four color, maybe we can get the cost down by making it a one color. And
well, and I think what really sets you guys apart In addition to having that community-minded part, is that your designs are so strong. You know, you mm-hmm. have a lot of. I've worked with screen printing places, and in a lot of cases, you don't want them designing the product because it all kind of looks the same, and, mm-hmm. and it's not always good, or it's, you know, a style from 20 years ago. And you guys are able to not just produce a cool product, but like have really great designs too. It feels nice and crisp and modern.
Yeah. And a big part of that's Risa. Like, she crushes it on the iPad and on Illustrator. And I mean, we both try to have ideas for shirts. I'd say like 80% of the shirts are coming from Risa. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of like drone photos and video photo stuff. So some of the shirts that are more like photo based, we have like a drone photo shirt.
Okay.
It's something that I'll work on and do, but yeah, we try to make it fun, make Amarillo fun, just because it felt like when we first got into this, there wasn't anything to like wear to be proud about
right.
Amarillo.
Do you have a lot of ideas always in the tank that you're just waiting for the right time to introduce them?
Yeah, I mean, we have like shared notes that we both kind of add to for ideas, whether it be like a shirt or a sticker or a sign or postcard. And sometimes if you can't think of something, you can kind of go on there and kind of pull from an idea to work on, or something might just come across and then you just make it then. And the cool thing about being able to produce everything ourselves is, I mean, there's been markets where it's like, man, we really should do this. And then it's like Friday and the market's on Saturday, but Reese is able to like design it on Illustrator, get it burnt. We have some shirts sitting there on the shelf and we're able to like burn it and print it all
yeah.
just in one day.
You're not waiting on some third party to deliver stuff to you.
Right, exactly.
Tell me a little bit more about having a husband and wife business where the two of you work together, because you're not just working together in designing and printing, but like you're selling together mm-hmm. At the market. Risa is more often kind of the front face. You're, like you told me, you're in the back always folding and stacking shirts and stuff. Mm. But like, you guys are together all the time, and a lot of couples would think, oh, that would be terrible for our relationship.
Right.
I think a lot of listeners might imagine that and think, you know, it's good that, you know, my spouse and I go to different jobs because we get some time apart, and then it makes it better when we come back together at night or something. You guys are working together during the day, sometimes at night. You're spending Saturdays together when you're selling at the market or something. Like, there's not that time apart. And so I feel like a lot of listeners are going to want to know like what that does to your relationship, if it's more challenging in some ways or if it makes it stronger.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think stronger for us. I think in the beginning when we both had our own separate jobs and then us having to come together and work together, we were always excited about that. And then when we got to do it full time, all the time, it was just more of those good times of, you know, she's working on a design, but I'm burning the screen. So, I mean, we sort of have...
You're not side by side.
Yeah, not side by side for every bit of it. But she's great on her end, being able to do the emails and the quotes and the designs while I'm burning the screens, prepping the screens, getting the ink ready, and then she'll come into the shop and then we'll print together. Mm-hmm. So we have a little bit of that space, but... honestly, I can't imagine doing it without her. Yeah, just back to like those very early days whenever we both had our own jobs. It was doing a lot of stuff at night. We were burning screens at night and we had like a little satchel bag full of quarters. We would go to the car wash to go like wash out the screens.
Okay.
And do everything.
I know you do most of that stuff still kind of on the fly, or at pop-ups and things like that. Have you ever thought about opening a retail space? Like, is that ever a dream? That's not part of the collective, that's not part of the Nat, but like is a free cheese sort of shop people could go to? Or do you do enough, you know, sales and stuff just the way that you do it and with online sales and everything?
Yeah, I think definitely after like the pandemic, we realized that we don't really need that physical shop mm-hmm. for someone to come and order custom shirts from or come buy like our products from. So places like From Sixth or the Nat are just like great that we have those options. And then we have the pop-ups for meeting people and them coming through. It's definitely gotten to a point where it feels like too much work for two people mm-hmm. whenever it gets into those super busy times. And it feels like it's something where we could go, you know, pay for and get a bigger shop and get more equipment. But throughout the years, we've just realized that we focus so much on just like being debt free. Mm-hmm. I mean, trying to make sure houses are paid off, cars paid off, like where we don't necessarily have to go make a ton of money and have all these employees and do all this because we want to keep our schedule open for travel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a big part of like us being creative and doing this was so we could kind of live our life how we want to be able to live it and still have like those outlets and still have work, you know, when we come back from travel. So sometimes it's like rushing and getting, you know, 5 or 6 jobs done at once and then going to the airport the very next morning and then still like on the plane working on designs and ordering shirts that, you know, family members are helping put inside the shop whenever we're not there and just coming back with that.
Yeah. And you guys still travel like internationally pretty regularly at this point, at least based on the social media feed I see from you.
Oh yeah. We definitely try to like as much as we can. I think in the past few years, went to Europe like 5 times, but like a big focus on that is just keeping that affordable as well. Like I think 2 of the times we went on those trips was free flights just with credit cards.
Yeah.
And the last one was a $230 round trip flight to Paris.
Okay.
Just flew out of...
found a special sort of thing, one of those flash.
Yeah, there's just like those mistake fares mm-hmm. with like going or Scotch cheap flights. And my brother and mom went with us. We had to fly out of New York, but we flew to New York with like Southwest points with a companion pass. And so that was only like $11.20 a person right. for New York and then $230 round trip from there. So we travel a lot, but we travel a lot on the cheap mm-hmm. for sure. Like, I mean, when we were in Amsterdam, we stayed at City Hub with like this little pod hotel.
Right. Yeah. Stuff, I've seen that.
I mean, we're walking around just seeing things, doing things. Sometimes it's like lunch and breakfast from the grocery store and then just eat out at night. But it's always been a focus of ours just to keep costs down. So we can be debt free and then afford to travel and then do that on the cheap. And
it turns, you know, a lot of people talk about a lifestyle business, but that kind of sounds like that's what free cheese is you're doing enough work to create the lifestyle that you want to live as opposed to, you know, just being completely immersed in the business side of things.
Definitely. We love free cheese. We love working with all of our customers and, don't want to get to a point where it's almost like too big, where all you're doing is working and it's just trying to make every single dollar you can. Mm-hmm. And then
managing a bunch of employees.
Yeah. And then the customer gets lost in that too. You know, like, I mean, Reese has so many personal relationships with everybody that we print for. And I think if you start like outsourcing things like that, it's just not personable and you lose some of that touch that I think free cheese has and what works for us.
I know that a big part of your story beyond free cheese and you reference this is sobriety. And I wonder if you wanted to talk about that journey a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, that was definitely a catalyst for free cheese, I think, getting as big as it was as well. We did used to drink and party and do this and that. And we are still maybe making some shirts and doing some things there, but it wasn't focused attention. Mm-hmm. And after being sober, it's like, man, what do I do with all this time? You know, mm-hmm. I wasn't hanging out with the same people or doing the same things. And it's a lot of like twiddling your thumbs. And it's just like, man, maybe we should lean into this a lot more. And then it's just like, well, we're not drinking and stuff. And now you can go on road trips and be driving for 2 weeks. And that's when a lot of that travel started.
Okay.
And a lot of the gift shops and a lot of the, oh man, we should make these types of shirts.
Was it a conscious decision? Like, was there an instigating factor that made you think, oh, this is something that we need to change?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was just, I think I recognized that it was probably too much partying with people like on the weekends that would turn into the week. And then it was around Thanksgiving, like I actually had to go to the hospital just from drinking.
Okay.
Pancreatitis.
All right.
A lot of pain. And just after that happened and having to see my family in the hospital after that, it was just like never again. Like I'm mm-hmm. not going to put anybody through this. Like I do not want everyone just to think of me like that or just being a holiday and just seeing my family in there was just bad. Like, so just from then on, just never smoked another cigarette or had another drink since then.
Was that hard?
It was hard. Mentally, I never did any sort of AA or anything like that. And still haven't, but it definitely got easier over the years. Mm-hmm. And I can't ever imagine going back to that.
Is there a way that the two of you having done that together that makes it a little bit simpler, because you don't have one person, one spouse drinking at home and the other one saying, I need to get off that.
Yeah, I think so.
It being a marriage decision rather than an individual decision, maybe.
Definitely. And I love Reese's so much for that, because, you know, we both were drinking at that time. And after that, she was really on board with everything, mm-hmm. and was respectful about everything. And it definitely was a big transition for our relationship and for our business and our life. So, mm-hmm.
Was there a social impact of that? I mean, you mentioned having friends that you would go drink with all the time. Like, what happened to those friendships? Did you have to give up some of those, or do those continue?
Yeah, definitely a lot of those changed. You realize, I think, pretty quick once you got sober, how many friends were friends and how many were just drinking buddies. Mm-hmm. But no, there's definitely still some friends that I talked to ever from around those times. A couple of them are sober as well now, so okay. That helps the situation, but yeah.
The last thing I wanted to ask, so much of at least the products that you produce are related to Amarillo. You grew up here, Risa ended up here and decided to stay. Like, tell me how much this area and just maybe the creativity or the mindset or the culture here, how much of that plays into the work that you do? Is that part of maybe the secret sauce that makes you able to succeed with the business?
Yeah, maybe so. It just, when we first got into this, it felt like Amarillo didn't have a whole lot on that shirt side of things, just where people could rep Amarillo. And you just see it year after year, how much more the arts are involved in Amarillo with all the murals and sunset. And
there's a community that is hungry for that kind of art, maybe that sort of creative expression, I feel like.
Yeah, there definitely is.
Today's episode is also supported by SKP Creative, which wanted to hand over its usual sponsor message to The Range. The Range is a new organization in the Texas Panhandle focused on driving innovation related to prominent local industries like food, beef, dairy, and crop and energy production. The Range is an acronym, actually. It stands for Regional Accelerator and New Growth Engine. And right now, this organization is working with local universities and local producers to push for innovation within its priority areas. Stuff like water and environmental stewardship, workforce development, and health and nutrition. The Range also publishes a twice-monthly email newsletter about these industries. You can learn more and sign up for that newsletter at therange.org. That's therange.org. And thanks to SKP Creative for donating the ad space. Okay, I'm back with Tate Atkinson. Tate, this is the part of the show I call Eight Straight. Eight Straight is sponsored every week by Panhandle Plains Historical Museum and Canyon. It's the largest history museum in Texas, and its collection includes the Sam Wood Cabin, which was built in 1887 in Hogtown. Hogtown, a lot of people haven't heard of it, but it was a Potter County settlement before Amarillo was founded in this area, and Sam Wood was a buffalo hunter who became the father of the bride in the very first marriage recorded in the Panhandle, which was in 1877. So you can actually see that cabin and learn more at panhandleplains.org. Okay, when you think of Amarillo 10 years from now, what do you hope for?
Hope there's Amtrak stop, so people could take the train.
Yeah.
Like west to LA or Albuquerque or up to Chicago.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
That'd be super cool.
I've seen, so the government, federal government has a rail plan that includes an expansion of the Amtrak system and does route it through Amarillo. And so that is something I'm hopeful for, too.
I think it would be super cool. I mean, we've rode a ton of trains in Europe, and every time mm-hmm. we did, it was just a blast. I mean, I've also ridden the train from Albuquerque all the way to Oakland, mm-hmm. and that was pretty interesting. And me and Reese has done the train from Portland, Oregon, up to, like, Vancouver, Washington.
Okay.
So it's just a fun way to travel.
It is.
It's slower, for sure. It's slower.
It's slower, but you get to see things that you wouldn't always necessarily see,
yeah,
if you're in,
like,
a car.
You can get to the train 10 minutes before it leaves. Yeah. You just walk right on. There's the observation car where you can just, like, read a book or just look out the window and kind of get lost. So
yeah, that's, I've never ridden Amtrak in the western part of the United States. I have ridden it in the east, and I've ridden, you know, trains in Europe. A train journey in Switzerland is like a pretty great way to travel the country.
Oh, for sure.
And that it's just such a small part of transportation at this point in the United States, at least in this part of the area, I think is a shame. So mm-hmm. I'd love to see that Amtrak thing happen. Okay, other than wind, what does this area have too much of?
Drive-throughs, probably like drive-through coffee shops.
Okay.
Like, I don't know, it just feels like Dutch Bro and Scooters are taking over like any little lot of land that there is.
There's a lot. Yeah, I feel...
We have so many good like sit-down coffee shops. They're just...
What? Like, and even, you know, drive-through locally owned places like Cliffside.
Yeah.
It's always strange that these larger chains are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
People love coffee around here.
Oh, they do.
What does this area not have enough of?
Walkability.
Yeah.
I think it's easy with towns this size, though, with just the urban sprawl. But I mean, anytime mm-hmm. you go to like those bigger cities or Europe, you just realize you can really walk and do so much because they're just so much packed together.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing, yeah, that really becomes apparent once you get out of the United States or even the Western United States is just getting into some of those urban areas. I always think it's funny. We'll travel somewhere and we think nothing of walking, you know, a mile to get some groceries or to go to a
sure.
restaurant. Like I live a mile from a United Supermarkets. I would never walk there from my house right here.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's just a mindset difference.
Yeah, it's a mindset. And then I think places like downtown are getting better. Like mm-hmm. you could have, you know, dinner at Polk Street and then walk over to the baseball game. And I think it's just about having more activities kind of bunched together. Something.
So. Yeah, that density is important.
Yeah.
What's one local nonprofit you personally appreciate?
High Plains Food Bank.
Yeah.
I think it's a good one to actually go on and be like hands-on, somewhere where you can go like help pack the boxes full of the food and the cans. And whenever COVID first started, we had like an Amarillo Strong t-shirt and we sold and some of the percentage went to High Plains. We were able to donate $1,000-something to them. And I think it's a good one.
Yeah, I think so too. What's your favorite local coffee shop? You mentioned sit-down places.
Yeah, probably 806 mm-hmm. on 6th Street. Love the vibe there. And the Palace on Georgia is just right across or around the corner from home.
So okay, yeah.
It's an easy one to pop into.
What's your favorite local restaurant or food truck?
Food truck, like Paul's Brunch Truck
over yeah.
by the old bus station. Mm-hmm. And then restaurant would have to be Bangkok, Tokyo or Yellow City.
Okay. The brunch truck is a really unique one. Because everything I've had there from Paul is just amazing.
And it's super good. And he just has the options to have like plant-based food
yeah.
alongside just like any kind of food. So,
yeah, I think it's one of those really surprising places, especially being located there near the bus stop, like that the
yeah,
food is so good.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that it was there. So,
what's the most underrated thing about living in Amarillo?
I think the sense of community is underrated and cost of living. It's mm-hmm. just like a good place for a community and an affordable place to live. And I think people are always wanting to go to these bigger cities because they do offer more, but I think Amarillo offers so much, and then affordability is a big one.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, when was the last time you visited Paladura Canyon?
Sad Monkey was last month, but like in the canyon proper, out to the lighthouse was in September.
Okay.
We went out and flew the drone. Took a few months to get like the proper permit.
Right.
And insurance. And you only had like a 2-hour window to do it. So we had to time the hike right. Flew the drone for like an hour and got some cool photos and videos we were able to use for different projects. And then right as we were leaving, the rain came down.
Oh, okay.
And so just barely made it because I don't know what we would have done.
Yeah, that window would have closed.
Like, yeah, it was like 3 months in advance. You had to book it, and who knew what the weather was going to be that day.
I know you guys have been producing some 3D printed versions of the lighthouse just as like as one of your products.
Yeah, yeah. So that kind of came from there. That 3D print was made using like 288 photos.
Wow.
Of the lighthouse.
That you just kind of had to stitch around into a 360
yeah,
degree.
Yeah, you kind of, there's some different programs you can upload them all into, and then it kind of makes a 3D model out of that, and then you can clean it all up and get it sized right for the printer.
Okay. Is that the kind of collectible that you're just sort of experimenting with, or do you know that there's a demand for it?
I don't know how big the demand is, but it's just something fun, and
okay.
we love everything Amarillo, so we try to have a lot of different 3D printed icons of Amarillo stuff, and just one of those fun offerings you don't really see, so.
Okay, well, that concludes the 8 straight questions. The last thing I like to do is to ask my guests to endorse something. So what's one thing you would like listeners to know about or to experience?
I think everyone, if they can, needs to go out and travel a little bit.
Okay.
And just get out of your comfort zone, even if it's like buying a tent from Walmart and going to the canyon for a couple nights and just doing that.
Is there an element to leaving Amarillo that makes you appreciate Amarillo when you come back? Like, does travel change your perspective in an important way?
I think so. I think just seeing the way that other people live, the way other cities are set up, the offerings, and I don't know. I always feel a little more creative on the road. Get a lot of ideas on the road, on those trips, and then kind of like feeds that hunger to like come back home and make something new. I guess probably so you could like sell it and do it and then get back on the road again. Yeah.
All right. Tate Atkinson, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
And that concludes the episode. I want to say thanks to Tate for being on the show. You can find out more about Free Cheese and see their shirts and products at freecheeseprints.com. Look for them this spring and summer all over town. Thanks to Pinnacle by Rock Rose, to SKP Creative, and Panhandle Plains Historical Museum for supporting the podcast. Thanks also to Angelina Marie for editing the show. Thank you for listening. Hey Amarillo exists on a weekly basis because people listen to it. So thank you for being one of those people. Because of listeners like you and the local people who support it financially through patreon.com/heyamarillo. Hey Amarillo's executive producers include Wes Reeves, Cindy Graham, Barbara and Jim Witten, Patrick Burns, Katie Linger, Corey Burns, Jason Burr, and Josh Wood. This has been episode 348. My name is Jason Boyette, and I'll see you next week.